Welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Dee McGrail.
And I'm Laura Mangone.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. So we're day three of the election.
Yeah. Promise everyone we will talk about food, but we're probably going to have to take a segment.
We're going to have to take a segment. This is unprecedented. We're living history right now. And I have never watched and or listened to so much CNN in my 59 years.
Yes, so right there, that's a starting point, because as our listeners might not know our political affiliations, but I'm a registered independent.
As am I.
Okay, but I have voted pretty Democrat for, since Obama's first term.
Yeah, I would say that's true for me as well. But I have voted for Republicans. It's not about the party for me. It's about the issues.
No, so there's us, and it's really good that you and I are both of the same camp. But I tend to, and I know you do too. You mm-hmm. tend to swing. If you were to embrace a party, you would go with the Democrats, and so would I.
Yes, for the most part, they are more like-minded, but. Having said that, you know, nowadays when you say you're a Democrat or if you're a Republican, you know, everybody's thinking in these big broad strokes, which I think I've said before, it's either white or black, you know, it's like radical liberals or, you know, it's always such a pendulum swing. And I'm not that. I'm a moderate person. I have no affiliation with Satan. I have no, you know, like.
Right. I know. Like, we were talking right before we started the show about how I'm realizing there's videos that go around of, you know, liberal Black Lives Matter people or whatever who are being completely disrespectful to cops and spitting in their face. The right people look at those videos and they think that's me, and it's not me.
I agree.
Just like all these people who are, you know, so hardcore Trumpers, that's not all of them.
That's his base,
but there's a whole other spectrum who must be just so adhered to voting for their party.
Right.
I blame a lot of this. I blame it on a few entities.
Okay.
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Who I love. Love him.
I don't love him, but I see where you're going with this.
AOC.
Yeah.
Love her too. What they did, and I'm just choosing the top two, I'm not choosing a bunch of others, but what they did with spouting this like really super highly liberal left-wing stuff too much at once.
Right.
I liked a lot of their ideas, but I thought, you know what? It's too polarizing. It's too much too soon.
Right.
So I kind of blame this on their movement a little bit, because people, if you're of a Republican spirit, that is gonna, like, it doesn't bother me so much.
No, but it's gonna push all your buttons. It's gonna push all the wrong buttons.
Your buttons and. So I blame that movement.
Right.
I think in hindsight they probably would have done things differently, and if they thought that it was going to create this kind of chasm that we've got. But I also blame social media. Like Facebook now, for the first time in what, 4 or 5 years, deciding to flag posts because they're untrue. What about what was happening 4 years before this election in 2016, with all of the misinformation and the vile things that people were
it's very sad, and I have I'm trying to remove myself from it, but I just, like everybody else, I get caught up in looking at what everyone's posting, and I've responded to a couple of people. I've actually gotten into it with a couple of people, and it's just. I don't understand, you know, all these people, it actually speaks back to that documentary that we talked about a while ago called The Social Dilemma. You know, people are getting their news from like YouTube. Like, that's not a news outlet. Like they have no basis and no business being, you know, proliferating this stuff that is not true. It's really sad. Now, you know, I'm having an issue with my hip. So the other day, and this is another one of my pet peeves is, you know, I love words and I love the meaning of words. And when I see people throwing around words and when they don't know what the hell they're talking about. So getting my hip x-rayed the other day, the x-ray technician and the orthopedic group I was at will remain nameless, but and actually the physician was shocked to hear this because I know him pretty well. He's operated on my knees a number of times. So the x-ray technician, it was Monday. So it was the day before election day. And I said, we had some time to kill. She said she had to fix something. So it was going to be a few minutes. So just by the by, I'm sitting there. I said, have you voted yet? You know, are you voting tomorrow or did you vote? And she said, oh yeah, I voted weeks ago. I said, oh, okay. And I wasn't going to engage. I wasn't asking who she would voted for. Right. I was not saying anything. And quite frankly, I really shy away from talking politics. Although in the last 2 days, I've probably posted more than I ever have in the history of my, you know, being on social
media. I haven't done it.
So she says, well, you know, I voted for Trump because, you know, I don't want to become a socialist country.
And okay, don't get me started on socialist country. Okay.
Well, let me just finish.
What that word means.
I know. That's exactly what I'm saying. And that's one of the things that I posted. Like people are using this word and they don't understand what it means. So I bit my tongue, but I said, so you are not interested in receiving Social Security at some point? And she said, oh no, I'll get Social Security when I'm 65 or 67. You know, yeah. I'll figure that out. And I said, and what about Medicare? Are you, you know, perhaps you'll be using Medicare at some point in the future? She said, oh, of course. I'm like, well, those are socialistic programs.
Okay, Laura, you're describing a huge part of his base, which are, I'm sorry, but flippin' stupid.
So here you go. I was explaining it to her and I said, well, that's what socialism is. They're programs set up by the government that benefit everyone. She said, oh no, no. I'll, you know, Social Security doesn't have anything to do with socialism.
And I said, you know what?
In my head, I said, all right, she's already voted. You're getting an x-ray. You should be
Laura,
calm.
People are dumb. People are dumb.
I did say to her, you know, just for the future, you might want to do a little bit of research about that because these are, and I tried not to sound condescending. I was just like, you know, those programs are, that's what it's all about. That's what socialism is. She just like looked at me like, no, I'm going to get Social Security when I'm 65. I'm like, well.
Yes, but, you know, to try to play the other side a little bit. I think that Republicans really have a hard time with when that socialism type of platform gets too big. And I don't blame them. Like I want a lot of the things that the liberals want, but I also, and I inherently sort of look to the other side, like how could I be wrong? You know, sort of grasping at that, but.
Right.
I'm trying to get my head inside the head of a Republican. It's really hard, but I think I was initially horrified that it was so close. And now that that's set in for me,
yeah,
I'm realizing there's a whole lot of people just like me who are not spitting in cops' faces, not even going to rallies or
of course not
or anything. We just have these basic beliefs and we all want the same things.
Exactly. Exactly right. We all are our families, our friends, to live in a happy world. Absolutely. You know, in my mind, there's only a couple of, you know, pretty big issues that separate me from, well, obviously, I'm not going to talk about intelligence levels and just knowing a little bit about how the government works. But, you know, guns are an issue for me. Pre-existing conditions, obviously.
What was the first one?
Guns.
Wait, guns. You want guns? You want more guns?
No, I'm saying these are
issues. The other, yes.
Yeah, these are issues, but they're, you know, there's not a lot. I think at the end of the day, the majority of people in our country want to be able to start a business, have a happy family, pay their bills, have their health, you know, have a plan for their health insurance. You know, we all want the same things.
We all want the same things. Yeah. It's just a like moralistic standpoint that people take when you decide to be Republican or Democrat. So
yeah.
Anyway, I think you and I are both trying to just really understand.
Yeah.
And I'm actually seeing a little bit of that on Facebook. Like, I think both sides are realizing, like, if Trump wins or Biden wins, I think Biden's going to win, but I'm not sure. I have no idea. And I've detached.
I mean, I have CNN on mute behind you at the moment. And, you know, he's on the brink of Arizona and Nevada.
Okay.
And that's all he needs. I mean, Biden has a couple of different paths. Trump, period, end of story. He needs Pennsylvania.
All right. So I guess what I'm saying is I actually have gotten to the point where I don't care who wins. And this is a person who was, you know, in the fetal position for 2 days after Trump was elected. And so I don't care. I have to detach, and I'm just going to, I just hope anyone moving forward, you know, Trump is already talking about running in 2024. You know, that's like a thing now.
I'm going to be in Italy by then.
You know, and if, you know, good luck to you, since you're going to be hopefully prosecuted for crimes before then. But
the minute he walks out of the White House, there's a long list of people that are going to be serving him papers for all of the things that he was not allowed to be, you know, answer to while he was the president. Number one, abuse of power in the presidency and what went on with all of his hotels and resorts.
I know, but we're sounding very liberal right now, and I don't think everyone in this country.
I agree. Well, it's just fact. That's the other thing. It's fact.
They would say the same thing. They would say, you know what, this is fact. I see you coming from your heart, and it's like, you have to believe that there's a Republican, a staunch Republican out there,
right,
who voted for Trump again, even though he held his nose. Right. And he's looking at you going, oh, stop. Like, you're just too liberal.
Okay. Man. Well, here, let me throw this into the mix. And I know you know this, but for all our friends on our national station, which is, you know, red state. I've had three interactions with the man. I have had, you know, not a lot of people have, you know, personally had interactions with the gentleman.
Okay. So you happen to, okay. So you can take your really, he had a bunch of shithead moments with you and your interactions, and you're going to tell all of those people that voted for him?
Oh, no, I'm not trying to convince anyone. I'm just saying these are my positions based on the fact that the man tried to get me fired. He lied to my face with his wife standing behind him saying, like, you know, we know he's fibbing. We know he's stretching the truth. Like, it was like a blatant lie in order to get, you know, $500 worth of a seafood station. It's just, you know, that does taint your view on someone when you've been in the position where I have been, and I've had three interactions with him.
Donald Trump.
Huh?
Him meaning Donald Trump. Can we?
Yes, correct. Correct.
There is that you're actually talking about face to face.
Yes.
Food is coming up next. What is it going to be?
Food is coming up. I made something really, so, you know, I've been cooking for my niece, whose child is in a body cast right now. So I've been cooking for her once a week, and I made something really interesting yesterday. And at first I thought it was, you know, what I sometimes call like a Betty Crocker recipe, but right. I sort of tweaked it a bit and it turned out really delicious. It was very good. So we've got a little over a minute left, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about that.
Local politics.
And then you're going to talk about?
Just some stuff I've been cooking, and I started doing some videos for cooking segments and stuff. I have it on my page, so stuff like that.
All right. Have you been doing a lot of vegan stuff lately?
No, I still try to incorporate. I'm realizing that with my vegan catastrophes that happened recently, when I tried to make vegan butter and I tried to make tum and I tried to make all this stuff.
Right.
I'm realizing that it's going to be it's a learning curve with the whole vegan thing. And it's not something that's even super important to me. It's not about removing the meat.
Right.
It's about incorporating healthier fats and, you know, because we're trying to get away from that. But right. So yeah, I've a few meals to talk about, my videos to talk about next segment, and then, you know, we'll figure it out.
All right. Well, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Grant, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Back to Food for Thought.
And we're back. No more politics. What's going to be is going to be.
That's right.
So you want to hear about my interesting dinner I made last night?
I sure do.
So doesn't this sound like one of my quote-unquote Betty Crocker meals? I made Mexican lasagna.
Wait, let me guess.
Okay, guess.
Did you use corn tortillas for the pasta?
I did, but I toasted them.
Okay.
So it made them a little tough. So it made them a little tougher. So they weren't just gummy in there.
Crumbly.
And they were whole wheat.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you put in some salsa and some chili powder and some Mexican cheese instead of Italian cheese.
Yes. But I made chicken Mexican lasagna.
Oh.
So I cut up I used chicken breasts and thighs, and I cut them up into small pieces, and I browned them really quickly and then took them out, and I had to do in batches because I was, as usual, I'm feeding for an army, so I made a pan for us and a pan for them. And I, after I browned it all, I took some of the fat out. I didn't take a lot of the fat out because, as you know, not a lot of fat in chicken breasts or thighs. So I left some of them in there, and I put all the chicken back into the pan, and then I, you know, doctored it. I put cumin, I put chili powder, I put some cayenne, I put a little bit of tomato product, I put some garlic, and that was pretty much it. And I let that just cook for a bit. Mm-hmm. And then I took that out. And then I sauteed a ton of onions, garlic, chopped fresh tomatoes, chopped green chilies. And into that, I also put a little bit of cumin, a little bit of cayenne. I probably would have put more cayenne if I was just making it for us, but you know, Jessica's now also feeding this to her children, so I didn't want it too hot. Mm-hmm. So that was basically my quote unquote sauce layer. It was, you know, an equal, pretty much equal parts, green chilies, tomatoes, onion with a little bit of garlic and some seasonings, took that out. And I toasted the tortillas in a dry pan, dry cast iron. I just toasted them so it really, you know, they started to bubble and darken. So it made them a little bit tougher so that I knew when it was now in this with all the sauce and everything, it wasn't going to be mush.
Right.
And I was on the fence. Normally I would have put corn in it, but I remember Jessica doesn't really like corn, so I didn't put the corn in it. I did a layer of beans. And rather than, I had some red beans that I cooked from fresh, I was, you know, soaking beans, black beans and red beans. And I, you know, boiled them as usual and basically made my own refried beans. But I mashed the red beans and I left the black beans whole.
Nice.
And again, I put, before I did that, I sauteed a little bit more onion, a little bit more garlic. I put some tomato product in it. Then I put the beans in, let that cook for a bit. And then when I assembled it, yes, you're right. I used like a Mexican combination. It had queso fresco in it. It had Colby Jack. It had that, you know, that nice Mexican melty, good cheeses. And I did the layers, and the chicken was a little soupy. Like I'm sorry, I forgot the broth. I threw some chicken broth in there after I seasoned the chicken. I threw some chicken broth in it. So it was a little on the soupy side. I wanted it to be.
So that's what you wanted.
Wanted it. And I eventually skimmed out the chicken, and then I reduced the sauce a little bit so it thickened up a bit. So it wasn't watery consistency. It was thickened nicely. Mm-hmm. So my chicken layer was, you know, a little soupy, which I wanted because I didn't want it to be dry. I think there's nothing worse than dry lasagna. So it worked out really well. And then I just layered like you normally would layer a lasagna. I put some of the onion tomato sauce on the bottom, the tortillas, the chicken, the beans. You know, I just continued layering, and I had like three layers of tortilla within, you know, the fillings and cheese on the top. And I baked it for about an hour at my favorite temperature, 375.
375, Laura.
And it was really good. It was really good. We're going to have it tonight.
Good.
Yeah. And they loved it because Jessica, you know, texted me afterwards like, oh my God, this was great. Wow, wow, wow. So it was, it was really yummy. But yeah, when I first thought about it, I knew I had a busy day yesterday, and she, the week before, I'm always saying, well, what do you feel like? Do you want me to make you? I'm also comparing with my sister-in-law, who also is cooking for them one night a week. And my other sister-in-law, who's Jessica's mother, is cooking for them. So I sort of coordinate what's everybody doing.
Wow. What a nice family you have.
Well, you know, she's got her hands full. She has a newborn. Well, not a newborn. He's, you know, 7 months old. And this poor little guy that's in a body cast. So, yeah, we're helping. I mean, you know, cooking once a week, I'm cooking every day of the week. So it came out really nice. I was really pleased with it. And I like to try to do things that I can do a little bit ahead of time, because yesterday I knew was going to be a crazy day. Same as next week. And I think next week what I'm going to make is I have to do some cooking for Uncle Joe, and I need to make his lamb stew. But Jessica and Josh are not fond of lamb, so I'm going to make a chicken stew for them.
Uh-huh. So
that'll be yummy. Yeah.
Well, yeah, substitute, if you were to use like lamb chunks, you'd substitute what? Like chicken
or beef, you know, or beef stew. I'll just do the same, you know, chicken breast, chicken thighs.
Right.
Regular, you know, mirepoix. And then carrots, potatoes. I'll probably throw some peas in it, just like a regular stew, whether it was beef stew, lamb stew. I'm just going to make it chicken stew because they like chicken.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you have it.
There you have it. So I think I was telling you that I did my first cooking video for, I don't even know what I'm posting it to.
Yeah, are you doing it for YouTube?
We're putting it on my Vimeo page because I have videos of teaching fitness there. Right. And so we created another page, and I did my first cooking video yesterday, and I didn't want to commit to doing a demo every time, because if you commit to a demo, you've got to have those ingredients. You've got to, you know, be ready. You have to have your nails done. Like, you know, and you do. And I just thought, I just want to give little 15-minute videos. Okay. That was actually my goal, that it would be 15 minutes. But I didn't really know what I first wanted to talk about. So I decided my first video was going to be the chicken, predominantly chicken crock pot weekday recipes.
Okay.
Even conducive to weight loss. So okay. I'm trying to, you know, because that's what I do anyways. I take the...
So low carb.
I take the low carb approach. If I have protein, it might be chicken. It's usually fish, but just gave them like four recipes.
Right.
Talking about the coconut chicken, the teriyaki chicken that we talked about, chicken cacciatore, which I did last week, which I have to say, I know a lot of chefs would listen to me saying this, and we've discussed this before, but in this particular approach, I'm not browning the chicken.
Right.
I'm not even browning the vegetables. Like, I get that that's going to detract from the dish because of the caramelization.
Right.
But I'll tell you what.
It's pretty damn good.
We have that chicken cacciatore the other night, and it didn't have any caramelization going on, and there was no skin on the chicken, but he put it over pasta, and I just had it by itself.
Uh-huh.
It was delicious.
Hello, you're preaching to the choir. I love my crock pot.
I mean, but we're supposed to be devoted to caramelization, but how important is it really?
Well, I mean, there's certainly an aesthetic to it. You know, if it's a piece of chicken that's coming out of the crock pot, it's, you know, and especially if it's a breast, it's going to look white. And, you know, there's not going to be pretty color to it. And, you know, we can't forget the level of flavor that caramelization adds.
Yeah, I'm telling you, these past few, and believe me, when we were first talking about crock pot cooking, I was like, what's the point? Because you would have to brown something anyway. How could I let go of that flavor? How could I do that? So I did it reluctantly. And I can't believe that I'm not missing it, especially for like a weekday meal where you just want to.
Yeah, of course. And also you're cooking for yourself, and generally,
exactly.
You know,
dinner party.
Cooking for someone else or in a restaurant scenario, it's a different story. But if it's just for us, I'm telling you. So I have a repertoire of probably at least a dozen crock pot things. I use my crock pot almost once a week. I love it. There's nothing that I love more than putting
it. You've turned into this.
There's nothing I love more than throwing stuff in there. And when I walk in the door at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, the house smells delicious and it's done. But on certain dishes, like that lemon chicken that I do I do brown it first. You know, there's certain, certain meals that I do brown, but that's it. It's just I'm browning the chicken. That's it. Not the vegetables, not anything else.
One of the only reasons why I'm not incorporating that step in this series of videos is because I'm just trying to extract. So when once you try to brown something, you're going to need some fat. I'm trying to extract the fat out of the dishes. So I'm actually giving them direction to cut off the skin, which I love the skin. That's the best part, you know, but cut off the skin. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have to saute anything, guess what? You don't need any fat. So the only, you know, real fat in the dish is from the chicken itself, which is manageable if you're trying to, you know, watch your grams. Mm-hmm. So it's funny because I always think, whenever we talk about cooking, which is, this is what we do, I always think everybody knows this, right? And
like, but not everybody does.
Or they might think they do, or I don't know. You know, we admit to, we're both in our 50s and we've been in this business a long time and we admit that we're still learning.
Right.
So I shouldn't take light the fact that, you know, I talked about 4 chicken dishes in 15 minutes.
Right.
So a lot of it comes so naturally to us, but it doesn't for everybody.
You're absolutely right. And sometimes you have to sort of dumb it down a little bit because you realize, you know, what you're talking about. I find that sometimes, or when I was doing the cooking classes at work, which I would do every Monday night, you know, I guess I speak quickly. And when you're zipping through something, like even now, we just talked about the Mexican lasagna. I mean, I just talked about it so quickly. But if someone's not accustomed to cooking, you have to slow it down. And more times, I mean, obviously, I got the hang of it after a while. But initially, I had a lot of like, oh, hang on, wait, now, wait a minute. What did you do? Like, people can't process, or people process things in different ways. So when you just say, okay, put the onion in and then put the garlic in and then, you know, hit it with some blah, 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 you know, as you're...
And they're like, hit it with what?
What? Yeah. What? Yeah.
How did you incorporate the garlic? You just like threw it in or...
Right, exactly.
It's so second.
Well, and also people think it's so freaking mysterious. Like it's food is not mysterious at all. Or maybe it isn't to us. I mean,
it is a little bit mysterious, but
I mean, there are certain, you know, laws of cooking that you have to be aware of.
But not necessarily comply to.
Not necessarily comply to, exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
I think that's how I would wrap up this, you know, this idea of the crock pot cooking, which when I did my little 15 minute video, I said, you know, it's only this past year and I'm 55 years old and I started in this business when I was 15. Mm-hmm. I thought that maybe I should try crock pot because I turned my nose up at it. It was just like, what if I...
Yeah, and I never did. I think because growing up, my mother was a great cook. My mother never used a crock pot, but my next door neighbor, my girlfriend Anne's mom, used a crock pot pretty often. And that's, you know, I think pretty much when they came out was in the 70s. So I was, you know, at her house and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's been in there all day. And, you know, basically as a chef, you learn how to braise. And that's what a crock pot is. You're braising. It's low and slow.
It's low and slow to a degree that is not necessarily possible, especially if you have something on a timer. I think what's so great about crock pot cooking is that you can time it. So if you're going to work at 7 o'clock in the morning,
you're
not getting back until, you know,
you need 6 hours. Right.
You know, if you put your chicken on for 8 hours, it's probably going to be overcooked. So, but you can set it. You can, you know, program it. I think I think I've come full circle. When I was in my 20s, like I did everything homemade. Everything was perfect. You know, if we had gnocchi, there's no way I'm not going to make the gnocchi. But I'm older and I'm sort of like.
Save some time.
Save some time, man.
Especially if you're saving time in an area where the product that, and nowadays that we can get, you know, the products that we have access to when we buy are equal, if not greater than the quality of what we may or may not be making. You know, it's sort of negligible. And we're lucky that we have access to these products. So we're running out of time.
Okay.
When we come back, more food talk.
Yeah, I'll talk to you about what I'm making for dinner and my go-to salad for these days. Okay.
Sounds good.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Explore the river towns of New Hope and Lambertville and be part of the fun. Shop in the area's most unique stores, from antiques to toys to apparel, and you're sure to find a one-of-a-kind treasure. Make a reservation at one of Lambertville or New Hope's variety of dining options for dinner, wine, beer, or an artisan cocktail. Indoors or out, grab an ice cream cone to enjoy by the river for the first Friday fireworks. Create memories that will last a lifetime at the river towns of New Hope and Lambertville, where everyone is welcome. Visit DelawareRiverTowns.com.
Can I tell you about my,
Before you go forward, can I backtrack?
Well, yeah.
Where did you, so you did the videos, did Don shoot the videos for you, like in your kitchen?
No, I just let my computer do it.
And you had it where, on your island or something?
Like kitchen, well, on the shelf behind
on the counter, right.
So the backdrop was like the backsplash in the kitchen. And
right.
We were thinking that depending on where we put the camera, it might be nice if we go in the corner of the kitchen and have like pretty books behind me and stuff. And then maybe one time I'd have the Tim's painting behind me.
Right.
So, you know, it was just, I couldn't imagine anyone wanting to be interested in watching this video. I guess you could listen to it. Who wants to really sit and engage with little old me? You know, it's kind of silly.
I have to tell you, I have spent umpteen hours looking at videos that, you know, if I'm interested in what the person is talking about, I can get through their, you know, horrible presentation. If it's something I'm interested in.
You're a better person than I am.
Well, if I'm trying to learn about something, whether it's, you know, a new way to fix a hole in drywall or, you know, whatever it is that I'm looking up. I mean, I've seen some pretty shitty videos. It's like, all right, get to the point. Like, you know, when I've listened.
Right. And well, that's a good
point. You're pretty entertaining.
I'm all right, you know, but I'm not trying to be entertaining. I'm just trying to do the stupid video for this, you know, chicken crock pot thing. And
well, you have to try to be a little entertaining if you want people to look at it.
I did in the beginning. I said something to the effect of, you know, for many years I kind of poo-pooed the idea of a crock pot because, you know, that's not real chef stuff. And
right, it's Betty Crocker.
I realized this year that I was a very silly woman to have that philosophy because it's flipping great.
It's very helpful.
I know, but I think so many years of being, I remember Laura back in the day, there wasn't a time, I wouldn't eat pasta if it wasn't homemade, if I didn't make it, or gnocchi, or anything. Like I was just everything.
You were a food snob?
I was a food snob in my 20s.
See, I've never been a food snob, ever. I like food too much to be a food snob, because I like food.
Yeah, no, I think you start to come full circle. You know, once you've really delved into the intricacies of what it's like to really know food and really do all that stuff and experience it. And then after a while, you're like, you know, I could use a Burger King right now.
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far.
I'm exaggerating. I haven't done that in years, but I'm just saying, like, you start to not have all of these like
parameters that you have to maintain. Yeah, I get it. I get it. So where did you distribute this yet? Did you send it out? I wanted to see it.
Yeah. You want to see, you're the only person that's going to want to see it, Laura.
Well, send it to me and I will give you my unbiased opinion.
No, I don't know, but that's what I don't want. I don't want your opinion. It's just, it's little stupid video.
Okay. Send it to me and I won't say anything.
Oh my God. I'm totally not sending it to you. I'm just doing them, and it's like it. And I think of you when I'm.
Well, you have to have some end goal here. You're not just doing it just to waste time. You're doing it to hopefully inform people, right?
Laura.
Yes.
I am throwing shit at the walls.
Okay, and seeing what sticks. I get it. Okay.
Sorry, but
okay. Because you have all these other thing balls in the air, so why not throw another one in there? She's juggling.
Me juggling.
This is when I wish we had a video of our show instead of just our Zoom voices. That was pretty good. For all you people that can't see us, Dee was just juggling very spastically.
Catastrophically.
Catastrophically, exactly. Oh, anyway.
Oh, can I talk about my favorite vegan salad that I eat like every day?
Yes, please. I'm dying to hear about it.
Okay. Again, this is also going against all of my chef background. It's like,
oh boy.
Oh, this is bad, man.
I can't wait.
I am just into, you know, with a lot, not, I don't eat perfectly healthy all the time. Like I drink too much. I do stuff that's not good for me, but sometimes like in food, I try to keep it pretty pure. Yes. And I do not indulge myself in, you know, everything I want to eat, because I would love like Cubano sandwiches every day or.
Okay. You're speaking to someone who on election night at midnight was eating homemade potato chips.
Yeah, like I, you know, I just.
So what did you make? What do you make? What's your go-to?
It's so lame because it's so low calorie and it's so non-anything, but I take raw vegetables and I usually use green, and this time I incorporated cauliflower.
Yes.
So I literally pulverize Brussels sprouts, asparagus. This is what I had today. Brussels sprouts, asparagus, cauliflower, radishes.
Sounds extremely gassy.
Yeah, well, it doesn't bother me.
Okay, good.
It doesn't. All of these raw vegetables, now raw broccoli does bother me. So if I do put broccoli in it, I pulverize it in the Cuisinart. Literally, it's like dust. It's like nothing. It's
okay.
But broccoli, I would actually blanch, because that one gives me a problem.
Right.
If I don't, I just pulverize it.
Yes.
I mix it with a little bit of oil. So I might have multiple, like maybe 6 cups of veggies.
Greens, right.
And I would add maybe a couple tablespoons of olive oil, salt and pepper, and then like hot pepper flakes, garlic, all this stuff. But I don't add the acid until I'm ready to eat it.
Okay.
So when I put it in the fridge, it's got a little bit of olive oil. The acid is not breaking down those veggies. So
right.
I can have it for 5 days to a week
without
it breaking down. Do you agree with this process?
Okay, I want to hear the end result. Is it just that? Are you just eating that out of a bowl with cold?
Yes, that's my life, Laura.
Jesus, God. Can I buy a subscription to Noom for you? So you can see all the foods you're missing?
No. This is what I have to eat.
Okay, sounds great. I have no place to judge. Do you know what I had for breakfast this morning? So when I was grocery shopping the other day, it was early. You know, I usually go to ShopRite at like 6 o'clock. I'm literally like the first person in the parking lot. And I'm, because A, for COVID purposes, I don't want to be there when there's a lot of people around. B, I'm, now that our clocks have gone back, I'm now getting up at 3:30 in the morning instead of 4:30 in the morning. So I was there, and I was, all of a sudden, I was starving. I guess my dinner from the previous night had wore off, and I was starving. And for some reason, this, now normally this isn't something that I normally would eat, but I was in the dairy aisle, and I was near the cottage cheese, and I just got a glance out of the side of my eye of cottage cheese with pineapple, and it seemed really appealing to me.
Wow.
So I had some that day, and then, you know, it was, I don't know, it was probably a 16-ounce container. Then a couple of days later, I had a little bit more of it. Well, this morning, there was probably about a half a cup left in the container, and I just poured some granola in it and some roasted almonds that I had and some raisins. And I cut up a banana and I put that in it. So it was like this gruel of cottage cheese, banana, granola, raisin. It was delicious.
I'm gonna play Miranda from the Tookus Lingus episode from Sex and the City. And I'm gonna say, I'm not doing that.
Yes. No, it was really good. It really, I thought it was delicious. I may do it again. I like thickness. Like I like, that's why I like oatmeal. That's why I like chunky soups. Like I like the sensory experience of thicker items. So it was very thick. It was good. I could stand my spoon up in it. It was yummy.
I don't crave thick.
No, I do. I like thick.
I like green. I like crunchy.
I mean, I like crunchy at times too, hence the midnight potato chips. So Mario brought home some potato, because we have really delicious homemade potato chips at work that we serve at lunchtime. And he brought a burger home for himself. I had something that was left over from the day before. He had a burger and brought chips. And I was really good. I didn't touch them. And then I was up watching the returns. And yep, about 11:50, I was like, oh my God, we have potato chips in the house. And I like ate the whole thing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. Can't just eat one.
I almost forgot to tell you what I'm cooking tonight.
Yes, please tell me what you're cooking tonight.
Okay, I will. For a long time, I've always been into salads, as you know, and I don't agree that salads should really stop in the winter.
Oh, yeah, no, never. I have a salad every day for lunch.
Well, for dinner, what I'm trying to do with this salad is just, I want the greens, and I don't care if they're a little bit wilted, but I'm going to put the hot ingredients on top of it.
Right.
I'm going to be less concerned with like a fresh, you know, cold salad. So what I did was I have a combination of cauliflower, radish, and Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
Cut them up, and I'm going. I have dusted them with cumin.
Okay.
And then I'm just gonna sear my salmon like I always do, but I might do like a little bit of cumin on the salmon to have it, you know, work with veggies. And then we're going to have that with the salmon on top of salad with a little bit of olive oil, tiny bit, lemon juice, and then we'll have some tomato and cucumber and avocado.
That sounds good. That sounds delicious.
Very healthy dinner.
Yeah. Do you ever make a hot Caesar? Like where you grill the romaine?
Yeah. I love that in restaurants, but I've not done it myself.
Have you? It's delicious. I actually love it because I love when you grill the romaine, just the charred flavor that you get on the romaine. It's just delicious. Love it.
To eat it here.
I lost you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. So yeah, I love a grilled romaine. It's my fave.
I have never done it myself. It's something that I always get at restaurants. But it's worth it, man. It's that little charred flavor.
It's great. So what else? I should not have kept the politics on in the background. It's just my eye keeps going to it, and it's
distracting.
It's extremely distracting. I'm like addicted to CNN now. It's. So, what do you have coming up in the next few days? Anything exciting? Anything food related?
Nope, because we can't go anywhere and we can't do anything.
I have to make lamb stew for Uncle Joe. I'm probably going to make it either tomorrow or Saturday afternoon. That is one of his favorites. And I told you last week that I've sort of been chiseling away at the list of things that I usually keep in the refrigerator. And that's the one thing I need to make that I don't have any inventory on right now. So I will be doing that. I'm going to make the chicken stew for Jessica next week. So I will report back about that. I want to get in touch with, I reached out. Remember, we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago about maybe restaurants are starting to open or they've got, you know, they're serving, but they're serving spaciously with a lot of room. I've got in touch with, I emailed three restaurants so far, three that you and I are familiar with but have not been to in New Hope, Lambertville area. And I heard back from all three of them, and they are all declining because they don't want to take 1 minute away from trying to figure out what their next plan is. Each one of them emailed me and basically they said almost the exact same verbiage on, you know, we're concentrated on the weather's getting cold. We're trying to figure out some new programs. We're trying to do some, you know, packed foods that people can order, you know, family meals and whatnot. Everybody's juggling, you know?
In other words, they are just trying to stay alive.
They're just trying to stay alive, just like everybody else. Yep. So I'll keep reaching out to people, though. And I can't believe it, but we're out of time. Look at that. Another show in the books.
Yes.
So be well, everyone. Be kind to each other, no matter the outcome of this political, this very tenuous situation. And we'll talk to you next time.